Welcome to the worst week yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we remember the real January 6th. That's right, Kennedy's birthday. Happy birthday, Kennedy!
Yeah. A day that shook our country's values to the core.
A lot of people don't know this, but Stormy
are still happening to this day.
A day that changed the fabric of our nation forever.
A lot of people don't know this, but all those folks that you saw storm the Capitol, they thought Kennedy was in there. They were bringing them a birthday cake. Like, they always edit that out of the fucking footage.
Miscommunication.
It makes a lot of sense why Donald Trump was saying let them eat cake that day.
It was actually Donald Trump using your correct pronouns. That's crazy.
Wow.
shouts out to my personal best friend, Mike Pence.
Underrated.
You know, he tried to remind people, wait, you're getting it wrong. This is about Kennedy's birthday. And then Trump was like, you're a traitor. It got out of hand. You know.
Yeah. Whenever they were saying hang Mike Pence, it was like a game of telephone. The original message, like where it started, was like, oh, I can't wait to hang out with Mike Pence at Kennedy's birthday party.
Right. Yeah, telephone.
You know, one person tells one person, tells another person, tells another. It just gets muddied up, you know?
Everybody has a one tell Tina, you know?
Oh, one tell Tina. Haven't heard that one in a while.
I know. That was a throwback to
That's a throwback to not a podcast bit, just a friendship bit.
Yeah, just a little something that we used to say when we still had fun.
Or friends besides each
other. Now, one could argue that making a joke about being friends with Mike Pence is sort of a self-burn, but I think that... I think that Mike Pence would be far more horrified to be friends with us.
I think, you know, Kennedy, implying that you're friends with Mike Pence, it's not a burn. It's not a known. It's a testament to your ability to adapt to any situation, no matter how horrible, and how to make a friend in any room.
Oh, wow. I've got friends in the White House.
In white places,
In white places. Oh, mother. My goodness. Oh, folks, welcome to the 1,832nd day of 2020. It's the year that just won't stop. This is great. Yeah, I looked up how many days it's been since January 1st, 2020. 1,832 as of January 6th, which is the day this episode comes out, aka Kennedy's birthday.
You know what's crazy is that, like, you just looked that up, which is a practical thing to do, but I would have been like, okay, well, it's been this many years, let's multiply that. Like, I would have done some unnecessary math.
Oh, it's very unnecessary. I often will look up how many days since this day. Like, I looked up how many days I've been alive, and I remember feeling whelmed at the answer. Not overwhelmed. Not underwhelmed. Just whelmed.
Yeah. People don't feel whelmed enough.
That is Deanna and I's default feeling.
I was about to say, it definitely is Deanna's default state, 100%.
Yeah, it's, you know why? It's because, like, I'm simultaneously over and underwhelmed. And so it just meets in the middle.
Yeah, it doesn't balance out in a good way, which is why it's still whelmed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Impressed, de-stressed, you know, all the things. Can I just say, you know, before we go any further, listeners, last week we had an in-depth conversation about how terrible my bed sheets were. My sheets, my pillowcases, you know, my thread count.
I want to make it clear that I've never laid on them or touched them with any part of myself other than my hands. Like, I was making claims about how they would impact one's face and hair, but I did not apply the pillowcase to my face or hair to check.
The reason I wanted to bring this up to revisit old talking points is,
I was gonna say, why'd you bring up this incredible cell phone?
Because of that conversation, for the last fucking week, I have not been able to get comfortable in bed because I can't stop thinking about every feeling on my body. My I can't not feel. Do you understand?
He's test running in autism. I love that for you.
No. You did this to me.
I do it to me all day long for 35 years.
They say vaccines cause autism. Actually, it's Italians.
Hey, all my parents did. You know what? My grandparents are all cousins. This is...
I'm sorry, what?
No. Yeah, I mean, yeah. My dad's parents are first cousins, and my mom's parents are also first cousins.
for the community?
The family tree is a wreath.
This is the most fucked up thing that has ever happened on this show. What is going on? We're supposed to be talking about my crusty ass bed sheets.
Well, you know, I thought I would put out a cell phone, okay? Yeah, I'm mentally ill because all my family shares too many alleles.
Yeah, we're destroying you too often. And Deanna thought she'd just throw us a bone, I guess. I mean, that's like an incredible thing to just put out there on a podcast, is that your great grandparents or whatever was cousins that was fucking.
No, not my great grandparents.
Nope.
Oh, sorry, your grandparents.
My grandparents. My great grandmothers. My mom's grandma on her mom's side, and my mom's grandma on her dad's side, sisters.
Yeah, they were like, our kids should fuck. This is crazy.
Okay.
Wait, were they really cousins, or was it just a situation where they were all at Olive Garden? Because, you know, when you're there, you're family.
No, they
were. Oh, okay.
They were blood cousins.
I'll hold space for that defying gravity.
I mean, I appreciate you trying to make it less weird, but unfortunately, it is equally as weird as we all hoped it wasn't.
Unfortunately, though, I'm also telling everyone, if you kiss anybody in an Olive Garden, it's incest.
Wow.
If you ever want to feel truly alone, go to an Olive Garden by yourself.
I can't believe Brazzers never shot a film in an Olive Garden.
Step Olive. Step Breadstick. I've lost the plot.
I'm just imagining going to an Olive Garden by yourself is like, you know, that meme where like everybody's looking up from the table like, oh, you came out of your room that people post at like Thanksgiving, you know, like that's what it feels like. If you go into Olive Garden alone, everyone's like, oh, you showed up alone to Olive Garden. Hey.
Oh, man, my life is sad. We've got a Patreon, patreon.com/worstweekyet. If you sign up, you can support the show. You can get access to semi-frequent bonus content. We just put out our top 5 lists for 2024. It was a very fun episode.
It's my birthday. Fucking Andrew gives me some of this money usually.
Also, Patreon, this is unrelated. Patreon changed their pay schedule. So I got like, it used to come all at once. Like I would get like the entire Patreon money. Then the other day it was like, we sent you $35. And it's like, what? But also I got the email saying they sent it, but I didn't get the money. So I don't know what the fuck's going on with Patreon.
Is that a scam email? Don't click anything in there.
I didn't even open it. I just saw the thing in the headline.
Maybe just cash at me, listeners.
Yes, send us an envelope full of cash and toenail clippings to patreon.com/worstweekyet. If you give $10 a month, we say your name. So a big shout out to AJ from Baltimore, Nate Spud, Chauncey Anders, Pablo Hummus, Childless Cat Dad, Old Hobgoblin, Goblin Mode, Andrea Humphrey, you fuck like my dad. The Man in the West, Optimus Crime, Zap, Actions Downer, Nandy Angelus, Brianne Dragula 206, Why Not I Pay More for OnlyFans, Josh Troopin, Terminally Online Leftness, Ignex Mega Force Base, and CIA Brain Bugs. Also, Darren is awesome, has re-upped their pledge. So, fuck yeah. there.
Hey, welcome back.
Welcome back. Well, they had just dropped it down to a lower amount for a while.
And I know, but back. You know, now he's in the VIP room.
Hell I'm yeah. happy because I feel like that means the material conditions of Darren is Awesome's life have improved. Like, that was nice. Yeah, thank you for thinking of us. But, like, mostly I'm stoked that, like, the material conditions of your life have gone back to a place, you know?
Yeah, I hope that you got, like, a little raise at work or something like that.
Yeah.
Or a better job or, you know, something good like that happened to you. And then you were like, oh, let me give my favorite podcast or my
Actually,
third favorite podcast.
What I hope happened is that, like, sometime in the summer, you were like, you know what? I'm going to start making weird deals with myself. And you were like, if a CEO gets assassinated by the end of 2024, in 2025, I'm going to re-up my pledge to worst week yet. And you're like, that's never going to happen.
Well, it could have been also something else positive, though. Like, maybe you quit smoking, right?
Yeah, I think, you
so maybe
know,
this person quit smoking cigarettes or some shit like that, or quit some other bad habit that was expensive. They quit buying lottery tickets because they heard Deanna talk about her lottery ticket nonsense one too many times. And they were like, I'm delusional. I got to stop buying lottery tickets.
I got $100 worth of scratch off tickets for Christmas. And if I win any sizable amount of money on any of those tickets, I am going to buy the Lego Barra door.
I was thinking
you were going to say you were going to buy a plane ticket to my house and then beat me up.
This isn't the craziest
thing. Like, for doubting you about the lottery tickets.
That isn't the craziest thing you've said on today's episode, our very young episode. This is very early on, okay. But there's already been two. It is definitely the second craziest thing. You got $100 worth of scratch-off lottery tickets for Christmas.
Yes.
And you still haven't scratched them off?
No.
That's insane.
No, because I get
that
like
is a little insane.
I get the long ones, like they're like the crossword ones or the bingo ones that like take a little more time to scratch. And also, if I scratch them all at one time, then it's like over. And like I'm gonna want to scratch more tickets. Next week.
Did I ever tell you the time I watched an hour-long YouTube video of this guy just bought 1,000 scratch-off tickets and scratched them all to see how much he would profit?
Is this why you love being my friend? Because that's how I just behave?
No, this was just like it came up and it is addictive content kind of thing, and I just couldn't stop watching it. I felt bad that's about fair. Myself afterwards, and I feel medium about being your friend. Let's see. No, I feel great about it. I'm kidding.
I feel medium rare today, like yeah, as see, a person. This, I'm a little undercooked.
This issue is why, like, although I play the Pokemon trading card game, I buy singles. I never open packs. Because once you start opening packs of things like that, once you start scratching things off, things like that, those things are too tempting. Mm-hmm. They're too tempting.
That's the other thing. I'm like trying to work on some like delayed gratification things. So I'm stretching that out. Also, it's like they're like Schrodinger's lottery tickets right now. Like as long as I don't open the box, I don't know if the lottery tickets are winners or not. You know? So theoretically they are or they aren't, whatever I believe.
Yeah, sure.
Well, win a shit ton of money and then make it rain. Come on.
Yeah. Buy me an ice cream truck.
Do you also want some overpriced recreational plastic?
No, I don't. Like I said, I can't start. Because even if you bought me my $400 Lego set, I would still be running up my credit card within days, maybe weeks.
Well, because here's
the
thing.
If you want a bunch of money, I'd be like, Deanna, buy me the most expensive video camera I would never buy myself or something like that. You know, like like if you want like $1 million.
Mm-hmm. What's crazy about that is that I would go into the video camera store and I would have to ask for two. Like I would have to buy two, and I feel like that would be rare for them.
Yeah. Let's see.
That'd be a great day for that store.
Yeah.
if you win the lottery, buy me bed sheets.
I need you both to know that, like, the maximum win on any of the tickets in my $100 ticket stack is $200,000.
So I feel like bed sheets would be doable.
Yeah. Much more realistic than an $87,000 camera.
I think you should just be my friend. It's my birthday. You know, what the fuck?
And then what's next? Jeff's birthday is February 5th, and he's the other. I have to come up with $167,000 between now and February?
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I don't see what the problem is. Okay.
All right, just buy me the full art Pikachu. All right, it's $400.
Doable, manageable, for sure.
Hell yeah! How much is a nice pair of bed sheets?
Well, it could be
not all like, over not the place, like buddy. Insanely nice, but like one that you would want. How much would you spend on bed sheets, Deanna?
Don't ask me that. About $86.
Okay.
I was actually about to say like $80 maybe.
Yeah.
Like for like really for very not, like I'm not saying that's what I have to have personally. I'm saying like, you know, I have like a couple of sheets that are more in that range, and then I have some stuff that's more like $40 and it's fine.
Yeah.
You know?
I stayed at this hotel.
Are you in like $12-$17 sheets?
No, the ones that I just got, like, because I literally had bought new sheets the day that, because somebody gave me an Amazon gift card for Christmas. I had gotten new sheets the day that Deanna was here. And so she hated the sheets that I had on. She tested out the new sheets. She said,
wait,
still
did
dry.
I test the new sheet?
Well, you felt them because I had them in the thing or whatever.
Oh yeah, it's still dry. Yes. Yeah,
so I literally had just bought new sheets, and again they were like $45-$50, something like that, because I do like the jersey sheets. It's like feels kind of like a t-shirt, but again now I am like thinking about sensory feelings too much and I can't get comfortable in my bed. Oh, actually, before we get into the news, I did want to talk about my year so far. Like, I know as of recording, this is only day 5, but I've been switching some things up this year. First of all, I took Twitter off of my phone, which sounds small. Wow. It's crazy. My minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day life has completely changed.
Yeah, it was like that when I took Twitter off my
bitch,
phone.
And I've been
when I put
saying
Blue Sky on. It was like a long period of time had passed where I had changed my habits, and now like I'll look at it, but I don't like check it obsessively like 25 mm-hmm. plus times a day or you know whatever or even more.
Yeah, Blue Sky. I mean, it's definitely it's not that it's like dead or anything, but it's just not the same kind of like rapid fire interactions as Twitter. It's nowhere near that yet. At least for me. And also, Deanna, like, you can't say I've been saying you were never on Twitter the way that I was. So, like, our situations aren't really comparable.
Yeah, but I was never on Twitter the way that you were because I knew how it would impact me if I were.
Yeah. But it's a change for me. It's a big change for me is what I'm saying. Yes. Also, have had 0 cigarettes this year. That fucking Ooh. Sucks big time. Don't
wow.
like it.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, have not. I'm doing at least for January. No porn.
Are you trying to like hard reset your dopamine receptors?
Kind of.
Unique.
Yeah. So it's been a weird year so far. Not really liking it in any way.
Wait, it's say more about how your life has changed since deleting Twitter off your phone. Like, it's totally changed your minute-to-minute, day-to-day life, but in what way? The listeners want to know.
Oh, just because this is going to sound kind of dumb, but, like, I never really felt like I was alone because I was constantly, like, just the, like, never-ending, like, not conversations, but, like, there's pretty much no time where I wasn't like at least kind of having some kind of interactions. And now it's like much more like, oh, I'm by myself. I don't know.
Wait, this is actually really interesting because I was just talking about this kind of stuff with somebody the other day about how, like I feel like everybody treats all situations because of social media kind of like they're at work all the time in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of, like, how we police ourselves and how we're, like, struggle with, like, honesty and integrity and self-care and things like that as, like, societally. So I think it's really interesting that you're noticing that effect, because I definitely think that, like, social media can, like, kind of, like, make people into these weird creatures that are no longer able to be authentic whatsoever.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's in different ways depending on your preferred social media too. So
yeah, and I think about how Mr. Beast has said, and I think we've talked about this before maybe, that the YouTube algorithm has massively influenced his personality, because like he just like based himself around like trying to be successful on YouTube from like a young age, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like yeah, that guy, is that guy capable of being authentic? Can we trust anything he says?
No. I had a new client in the salon yesterday who is 22, and they were talking about how they admired that I was like, they said that I had a really curated vibe, and I was like,
That is such a 22-year-old thing to say. Like, not that it's, not to discount it or anything, no, but just like language-wise.
But, yeah. But I was like, I don't. Like, I haven't curated a vibe. Like, they were then like contrasting themselves that like they don't really know like how they want to present themselves. And like this, like they weren't presenting some cohesive version of themselves. And I was like, mm-hmm. neither am I. Like, I never set out to like present a cohesive version of myself. I am just presenting myself. Like, I'm just here and it feels cohesive to you because I haven't like cherry picked pieces and parts that I think people will like and dislike. I'm just here. And if you like it, great. And if you don't, leave, like, it's fine. If you don't like me, I'm okay. And they were just like, how do I do that? I'm like, well, first of all, get off social media, because the notion that you have to curate yourself into a cohesive version to be likable is, that's where that's coming from. Like, you only right. think that I'm more curated than you, and you need to be curated because everything else you're seeing is curated. Like, I'm not curated. I'm actualized. Just actualize yourself and you will feel curated about living.
Yeah. And the fun part is that yeah. once you're actualized, you can still just kind of suck. Like,
yes, I'm free.
Like, you can just be like, the average person has like a bunch of good stuff about them and a bunch of bad stuff about them. And like, once you're actualized, you realize like, oh, we're all kind of like a fucking mess with some like great redeeming qualities and some atrocious ones that are disgusting.
And like, I do think that the people that you're around then are in some ways a mirror. So then like, I think to myself like, okay, are the worst qualities of the people I spend my time with mirroring qualities in myself? And if so, do I like that? Like, do I like that or not like that? Okay, do I want to improve it? But it's not like, I'm going to select out an archetypal personality from what's available to me on the internet and then try to become my own version of that. Like, I don't know. It's giving like 80s movie. Like, is she a goth? Is she a jock? Is she a clean girly? Like, no, you can just be stuff, a bunch of messy stuff, and be fucking fine.
Yeah.
I hate social media. I think it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not good for what it does to us. And like, I don't want to say that I'm like off it entirely. I still have it on my desktop and I've been home pretty much every day. So I've like still sat there for a couple hours each day. But like, it's like when I had it on my phone, it'd be like, okay, when I'm on the toilet, I'll look at Twitter. When I'm cooking dinner, I'll look at Twitter. When I'm laying in bed, I'll look at Twitter. When I'm like outside for a smoke, which I haven't done. But you know, like I said, like this constant, like, my Twitter feed was open almost all day, as opposed to now it being like an old, like MySpace, where you had to go to the computer to be on it. kind of a deal.
Right, right, right. Yeah, no, I kind of like that vibe too a little bit. I try to interact with social media a little bit more in that way as well to an extent. I've just been trying to, like, you know, do Duolingo.
Yeah.
And, like, honestly, just play games on my phone. Like, I think it's easy to convince yourself that, like, social media is somehow, like, more valuable time spent than, like, playing a video game on your phone. But actually, objectively, playing a video game on your phone is probably time spent better in a lot of cases.
I love, like, it. I love to use my little brain for stuff. Like, my business partner and my husband both tease me about my, like, recreational thinking and my... my scholarly pursuits, but
if it was called anything other than recreational thinking, I think they would be wrong to tease you, but I'm on their side.
No, I don't call it that. My husband and I were talking about, Jeff and I were talking about that, how much I like to read. And I was like, yeah, like, you know, I like to read. I like to pass my time. I like recreational hanging out, reading. Like, that's a hobby. That's something I like to do. And he was like, yeah, but, like, that's not relaxing. And I was like, I think it's relaxing. And he was like, it's not relaxing how, like, watching a movie is relaxing. And I was like, I actually don't think watching a movie is relaxing. I think watching a movie is, like, kind of stressful. And he was like, reading is not a relaxation activity. Like, you are thinking, you're just hanging out recreationally thinking. Mm. And I liked recreationally thinking. Like, I'm playing Stardew Valley and I'm always, like, doing some little algebra. Like, oh, well, if I have this many tillable plots on my farm, I can do this at this rate. And these crops grow at this many days per crop. Little math time.
Can you imagine a crop plot that wasn't tillable? Oh, embarrassing. Let's see. We do have to talk about the news.
Let's talk about the news.
I don't an hour. Want to. I've just been trying to put it off because I don't want to. Also, I had yapper's remorse about talking about my grandparents being cousins. So I was just trying to talk about some other stuff so people would forget. But
well, let's talk about some other stuff so people will forget.
Talk about some other people who are cousins. I wish we had a story like that this week.
Wow.
If only. But no, we do have a story about old people. Jimmy Carter, dead at 100. Vaxxed? Question mark?
Woo!
Now, a lot of you, I got a lot of emails, and by that, I mean none, that last week I predicted on our 2025 predictions episode, I predicted that Jimmy Carter would not die in 2025. And here's the thing, that prediction is now 100% true.
Yeah, I don't know how you can be saying you're having a bad 2025. You're already calling the fucking shots.
Now, I did say, my prediction was, if I remember correctly, a Democratic president will die in 2025 and it won't be Jimmy Carter. So, like, you know, Clinton
that
or Obama.
Part, yeah, the other half.
They still have one of them has to croak. Wouldn't it be wild if Obama. Never mind. That's crazy. That would be wild if Clinton was like, huh, I guess I'm the last black president living. Anyways, my brain just went there.
Yeah, so people are definitely going to forget about my grandparents now. Holy
I'm doing
shit.
My part. I'm helping you out, Deanna.
This is friendship in action. Even after I insulted you earlier, incredible. See, when you're self-actualized, you can kind of be a piece of shit and it's fine.
It is crazy that this is, like, the first time that any, like, relatively famous person has died in, like, the last 5 years where nobody was trying to make it a conspiracy theory. Like, it's...
Yeah, if you're doing a conspiracy about this 100-year-old man that, like, looks like a fucking... a Tim Burton caricature at this stage of his life, looks like he's got some kind of fucking... A made up fantasy disease or whatever. Like, if you're trying to make, you know, conspire about this guy, Wow.
We don't see a lot of, you know, we don't see a lot of presidents dying. Do you, did you know that Reagan died in like 2003?
Yeah, he was killed in the Iraq War.
I mean, that was like just a little before I started like really paying attention to much. Like my politics began and ended with just NoFX album titles. Mm. But I don't remember that happening at all. So that's, I don't know. Yeah. So, but I mean, George H.W. was a few years ago and that was, you know, lackluster, you know, didn't really go anywhere, you know, but that was, I think that was before COVID. So it wasn't like we weren't so ready to call it a conspiracy or anything, you know, maybe it wasn't, I don't know. I feel like it was. Who
I'm
cares?
Sorry.
Like
I have
to have
to-
a conspiracy.
Ooh.
Again.
Okay.
Let's come up with conspiracies about Jimmy Carter's death right now.
He's still alive. That's the conspiracy right there.
My conspiracy is that Biden told Hillary Clinton that he would only give her the Presidential Medal of Freedom if she killed him. So she took a pillow.
One more for the Clinton body count.
Yeah, she took a pillow from Nancy Pelosi's house. She called her up. She was like, hey, Big Nance, can I borrow a pillow?
Not Big Nance. If you call asking for Big Nance, she knows it's about to be.
She knows it's murdering time. She knows it's crime time. We're killing. We're not doing misdemeanors. We're doing federal fucking crimes. And she coughed up her softest, downest, rich personist pillow with her 9,000 thread count pillowcase made of like orphan's
talk
hair.
Talk more about the pillowcase, Deanna. Why don't you?
Yeah, I was actually until you interrupted me. And then, Hillary Clinton put the pillow over Jimmy Carter's face. She smothered him. And that's why she got the Medal of Freedom.
I think he faked his death so that he could become the new Senate valedictorian. No, what's the fucking the Senate person?
Senate valedictorian.
The one that like vetoed the $15 minimum wage that we had never heard about them existing prior to or before or since.
The Benedictine senators.
No, the one that lives up in the fucking bell like Quasimodo.
Joke. That's also a church joke.
the parliamentarian.
Parliamentarian, yes, yes. That seems like something Jimmy Carter
I
is
hate
like,
that I have to be the smart person on this podcast sometimes because I want to keep riffing, but then I'm like, the responsible thing to do is to answer the question.
We literally would never have been able to move on.
We were just right.
The riffs just get worse the longer they go.
I was just naming religious orders. Then we went Hunchback of GOP.
All right, let's move on.
By the way, smart person on this podcast is being like the goldfish that remembers 11 minutes ago.
Yeah. Don't put that in your resume. Okay, we're going to move on to our next story, which is actually a two-parter. And that is the story that domestic terrorism is it back? Are we fucking back?
It's with us in our hearts every day.
So New Year's Day, 2025. Jesus fucking Christ. On New Year's Day, there were two separate, maybe terror attacks. I think one definitely could be considered one. I don't know. So in New Orleans, like after midnight, some guy like fucking drove his truck down Bourbon Street and like ran over a bunch of people. I think he killed 14 people and then got out and like started shooting people and got into a shootout with the cops and got killed.
Wow. He tried to do a triathlon of terror.
Truly. He did also have bombs in coolers hidden in the French Quarter.
He really did try to do a triathlon.
I guess they didn't go off or something. I don't know.
Yes, I said that because you know what? Sure.
Wait, you also knew about the bombs and coolers?
I did.
Oh, okay. My bad. Those didn't go off, so he will not be meddling.
Deanna knows about anything involving coolers.
Nobody's cooler than me.
First green button of the year. All right. Wow. I honestly thought it was going to be me.
We should keep
score. I thought it was going
to
be me.
You know what? It should.
I just want to say, I'm sorry that Jimmy Carter didn't live to see this because he loved death squads, as we know from his presidency.
It should be you, but Kennedy doesn't have access to the green button, and I'm too lazy.
Fair enough. Yeah, so obviously this is terrible. This guy was like a former military veteran, special forces guy. I think he served for like a decade or something. I don't know. Yeah, horrible stuff. That same day, another former I think this guy was a current military person, drove a Cybertruck up to Trump Tower in Las Vegas and blew it up. Now, this one's interesting because, like, this one is... The guy in New Orleans was brown, so it's like everybody's like, oh yeah, just a Muslim terrorist, whatever, fine. Also, even though he was born and raised in America and served in the U.S. military, they tied it into it being an immigration issue somehow. Oh, sorry, I said somehow. I just meant to say because of racism.
Yeah, don't forget, we've moved from legal immigration is fine to legal immigrants, I don't know, buddy.
Yeah. The guy in Las Vegas, there's a lot more speculations and conspiracies around him because he's a white guy, and you know, everybody knows white guys can't blow stuff up.
White guys never do anything bad.
I mean, unless they were tricked by their wives, am I right? Women.
Mm-hmm. The whole reason I got married to him, to a white guy, was so I could trick him into doing stuff.
By the way, my DMs are open if anybody else wants to try that. Let's see. Yeah, this guy. So I don't know how we're, as a podcast, we are calling this Cyber Trump 9/11. Is that correct? Cyber Trump 9/11?
Like, I'll accept it.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's been really,
I was going to call it J6 too.
But it was J1 anyways.
Yeah, but was in the military, and them motherfuckers like to be early.
So there was first an alleged email from this guy sent to some fucking right-wing radio or podcast, I don't fucking know, where he was talking about the New Jersey drones, and he was like, I'm doing this to, like, the government needs to speak up about the aliens, they're here, or something. So I saw that. I have no idea the authenticity of it. I don't think it's real, but I also just didn't look. I haven't been on Twitter, so, like, I'm seeing things very sparingly these days. I don't know. I did see another thing from him that I think is real, where he sent an email saying that America needs to wake up, and that he didn't have any. He was a Trump fan. He voted for Trump. And so, like, stands to reason he's probably also an Elon Musk fan. He said, he was like, I don't mean this to do anything other than draw attention. Like, this isn't an attack on Trump. But then he said this one thing that was really dark, and he was like, America needs to wake up and pay for all the lives we've taken, and I need to pay for the lives. Something like where there was like this like tinge of like, oh, does this dude feel guilty about the people he killed while in the military?
Yeah, he said he needed to cleanse his mind.
Okay, that's what it was.
The lives of people he knows that have been lost, and the lives that he himself has taken.
Yeah. So, like, big time element of PTSD, maybe. I don't know. It's horrifying. And also there's like video of him doing that. I don't know. There's like a lot of conspiracy shit. And again, I've seen it like briefly, but I haven't really looked into it. And I just assume that all this shit is just fucking people that want there to be some alternate explanation other than a guy who is unwell and suffering and blew himself up. I don't know.
I have a lot to say about this story. Okay, first
say
of
it.
All.
Speak on it.
Verified. This is 100% real. He sent texts to his ex-girlfriend that he was still very close to, like as a friend. They had dated, like, many years prior, like from like 2018, 2021 or something like that.
Okay.
According to this article I read, And he had sent a text after renting the Cybertruck and said, "I feel like Batman or Halo." About being in the Cybertruck.
Wow, what a fucking nerd.
I just really needed to share that detail.
I hope I'm never in a Cybertruck.
A lot of the other texts were pretty sad, and, you know.
I hope I'm never in a Cybertruck, and if I am, I hope that I blow myself up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, I think this is a pretty understandable reaction to being in a Cybertruck. Not the text, the explosion.
Also, okay, now, most likely he just avoided I-70 because of the weather, but he did drive through Las Vegas, New Mexico, and there's just a chance he put the wrong Las Vegas in his GPS. That's kind of funny.
What is the other Las Vegas?
Nevada?
There's a tiny Las Vegas in New Mexico.
Okay. Yeah, I missed you saying that.
Yeah, so he drove through the tiny town of Las Vegas, New Mexico on his way. And it was a tiny chance that he got mixed up.
Trying to go to Trump Tower in Vegas?
Yeah, like he was trying to go to Las Vegas. Because he definitely drove through Las Vegas, New Mexico,
just typed in Las Vegas from where he started. And the first one that popped up was the New Mexico one, but he didn't think to... Check.
He didn't realize that he wanted Nevada. He didn't know there were two.
He was probably just avoiding I-70, but you can also avoid I-70 without going through Las Vegas, New Mexico. So I'm on the fence about it. I'm like, you know, because at the time that he departed, I-70 was closed due to weather.
It feels crazy know anything to about take these a roads? Cross-state trip in an electric. How long does it take to charge a car?
About depends on if you're at a fast charging station or not, and depends on if you're trying to go for full charge from empty.
Can you give me any?
8 hours or less.
What? So, like, if you wanted to drive somewhere where it's beyond a single charge range, you would have to, because it's like what, like 200-300 miles, something like that, is like the best ones.
Yeah, but at a fast charger, and especially on newer models, it's like 2.5 hours.
Even that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming out as pro gasoline. Burn it all, baby. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about Congress for a little bit. Ever heard of it?
Wait, we can't move on yet.
Sorry.
I had an incredible phone call with my grandma this week.
What?
Hell yeah.
And she's a vote blue no matter who type of person, all right? She don't usually be hitting me with any kind of conspiratorial nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, and I want to discuss this conspiracy. She said, you know, those cyber trucks can drive themselves. What if somebody else shot him? And framed him.
Huh.
This is the episode.
I was like, holy shit, that's a wild ass conspiracy. And I want to discuss that with you.
This is the episode where we find out that my grandparents were cousins, but that I myself
Kennedy's grandma shot JFK.
That I am Kennedy's grandma. And that the person we thought was Kennedy's grandma shot JFK.
Mm.
Yes.
Deanna, you shot JFK?
It's very confusing.
Yeah, I need some string and a dartboard.
Kennedy called themselves Kennedy because their grandma killed JFK.
Yeah, they took that.
I'm trying to throw them off the scent.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, no, we love Kennedy.
Right now.
Hidden in plain sight. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, no, I like that theory. I thought that theory my own self while I was recreationally thinking. So me and your, that's why I said this is where we find out that I am Kennedy's grandma.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cause that actually made no sense until now.
Rhea said something really funny to me and I think she needs the microphone.
Rhea.
The T in Kennedy T. Cooper stands for the grassy knoll.
I love that Rhea, to say that to us, did not enter the screen. Like, I was really excited because I was like, oh, we'll get to see Rhea for a second.
Nope.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Congress.
Hi, buddy. Hi,
Congress.
Ever heard of it?
They keep doing it. Honestly, it's embarrassing at this point, but they keep doing Congress. This week, Virginia Fox, a Republican congresswoman from North Carolina, whose last name is spelled with two X's, by the way. She's 81 years old, and this week she fell down and bled all over the Capitol.
Hell yeah, dog. It's so awesome having all these old people running around our government, fucking falling down, losing their minds, fucking pooping their pants and stuff like that.
It's truly.
Why is every congressperson just like, if me and Andrew were one person but old?
But combined our ages.
Yeah.
like
Chuck, I do be Chuck falling Grassley. Down and bleeding.
Chuck Grassley's about to be the new Senate, whatever, big
third
guy.
Third in line for the presidency.
Yeah, he's 91, man. That's fucking
decrepit.
What the fuck are you talking about?
See, a lot of people don't like that, we're being run by a gerontocracy, but honestly, I think it is kind of an accurate representation of our democracy as a whole, is that it's just fucking crumbling in front of our eyes.
Like, my grandma is 93, and she can live only in a one-floor house and has to have a special chair at the kitchen table that is actually like a recliner chair, but also tilts up to help her stand. And I'm happy that assistive devices exist for people who need them, but also my grandma shouldn't be like trying to run the country. She can't even walk from the bedroom to the living room. She can't even really get up out of her chair without help, but it ain't right.
Yeah, make her the president.
She's elderly and she should be living a restful life, and she is, and so should these other elderly people.
Yeah, it's just a little fucked up for the people to be deciding how our future will work to not have any chance of seeing it. Sorry. Not sorry, actually.
I mean, they talk about how, like, they talk about, like, women that don't have children having no vested future and, no vested interest in the future of the country. Like, what vested interest do you have? You're a fucking 100 years old.
Yeah, yeah. So another thing that happened in Congress this week, friend of the show, Mike Johnson retained his speakership role. This is very exciting. I actually don't care.
What's funny about this though, is just the circuit.
I have no idea how this came to be.
The circumstances of this are funny just because, he passed a rule. You know, last time they came for his head, mm-hmm. it was 8 people. And so he passed a rule saying, well, now you need 9 people to do this. So then a letter signed by 11 Republicans was like, dog, you're on thin ice, motherfucker, right after he did that. And I just think that's really funny. Like, he was like, well, if 8 people don't like me, that's fine. I'll make it so that 9 people have to, and 11 people stepped up immediately and were like, yeah, dog, a lot of us don't like you. You we'll fire you in a second, motherfucker. It's so funny.
That's such a cell phone. That's a cell phone.
I do,
but also 9 and 11 involved.
Never forget. So never forget.
Really important that we covered this in the podcast.
It's the most relevant detail. I also think I've been seeing a lot of like people saying that, like, oh, Republicans have this like very thin majority, so it's going to be really hard for them to pass anything. And, like, I keep thinking about this because, you know, not that the Democrats are smart enough to do this, but, like, they have this, like, golden opportunity to, no matter what happens, the Republicans control the House, the Senate, the presidency, and the Supreme Court. No matter what happens, they have a chance to blame everything on the Republicans. I feel like they're just setting themselves up to, like, not be able to take advantage of it by even acknowledging that the majority is slim. Like, it's still it's still their call. Like, they get to do whatever the fuck they want. Like, I don't know. It's just, it feels so fucking bleak. Probably because it is.
Are you sure it's just because you haven't had a cigarette all year?
That is absolutely a factor.
I thought it might be, but also bleak.
Yeah. Two things can be true at once. Let's talk something. Let's lighten the mood up. Let's talk tech. It's tectonic plates.
Can we get a sound bite in here that's like boop 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 beep 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 boop?
We can. Beep, beep, boop, 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 boop. We can.
Yeah, that
but
was
we
it.
Won't.
That was the one.
Oh yeah, thank you, Kenneth.
I think you should just isolate that and put it on one of the buttons.
I think isolating something whenever we record on a solo track is impossible, and if not impossible, very difficult. And honestly, even if it wasn't, I still wouldn't want to do it.
What else are you doing?
Oh yeah, well you could probably plug it into like an AI, and then the AI will tell you to like wash your clothes and make a gas that will kill you.
Funny you should mention AI, Kennedy. As I said, this is tech time, and our first story is this week Meta announced that they will be shutting down some of their fake AI profiles after a made-up AI person called, or I forget her name, but she was a black queer mama, went viral for sucking ass. Like, so
I'm sorry, what?
There was a profile that it was just a picture of a black woman, and it was like her bio was like proud black queer mom of children or whatever, but this was AI. This was a fake image, fake profile, and it was a chat bot that would respond if you messaged it. So people started messaging it, being like, "Hey, this is like digital blackface. What the fuck are you doing?" And it kept responding like, "Actually, this AI is based off of somebody that the programmer knew who was a real black queer mom. Do you have a problem with black queer moms?" And it's like, this is so like, could not be more perfectly designed to piss off fucking racist people. Like, so Christy Yamaguchi, man, friend of the show, for recent guest, just tweeted woke DEAI.
That's really good. Damn, I missed that one.
Yeah.
I'll just reiterate what I've been saying on social media, which is like, this is designed to funnel money away from actual marginalized people. It's designed to placate liberals and aggravate conservatives all at once. It's like the most evil thing imaginable, basically.
Yeah, if you can... Sorry, go ahead.
White dude programmers to be making money off of marginalized existences through fake profiles.
Placating liberals while simultaneously enraging conservatives is like a cheat code to ensure that people will use your stupid fucking website. Like,
right.
I think that somebody should have asked Kenza Lely, aka Miss AI 2024, what she thinks about this.
Oh, she's our guest for next week. We can ask
perfect.
Her personally.
We should just get somebody with a voice modulator.
Yeah, or just...
I'm revealing the bit already because it's not a good bit. But
yeah, it's not a good... We should get a speak and spell.
Ooh, yeah.
We should get one of those storybooks that you press and it like reads random sentences.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, this whole thing is fucking batshit. And we were talking before about social media and the way that people are like just continuously interacting. And the fact that like people are now just interacting with AI in these ways, it makes me feel mentally exhausted.
Yeah, because like the AI slop images keep going viral, but like it's going viral because it starts off going viral because a bunch of AI profiles share it. So like it's this like not a self-fulfilling prophecy, but like a closed feedback loop kind of a I don't fucking know. An open feedback loop. Okay, that makes sense.
It will be really interesting when like a majority of people get frustrated and start leaving social media because of the AI, and then all that's left on social media is like AI spamming other AI. Like, yeah. they're, it's just a bunch of AI interacting with each other and fucking up ad revenue.
It's just Siri talking to Alexa while the world burns.
Yeah, I mean, we're basically approaching, you know, what people have been calling for a while, like dead internet theory, which is like eventually all these corporations will just be like paying like shills or operating bots, and that's who's operating. That's all the people that are interacting with each other online. It's just like, that's it.
So it doesn't look good. So I've been seeing, you know, while we're talking about Meta, I've been seeing like so many, or maybe more like hearing, because I listen to podcasts, so many commercials for the new Meta AI glasses that were like made in partnership with Ray-Ban, where it's like, it's so fucking bizarre that like they're claiming like this is a new technology, but like in the demonstrations, it's just the same thing as Siri. It's like a voice assistant, like, hey Meta, how do you make a, the one thing that drives me really crazy is that it's like, you wake up in the morning and you want to have a coffee. So you ask, hey Meta, how do I make an espresso? And it's like, brew two shots of espresso, or how do I make a fucking latte? And it's like, brew two shots of espresso. And it's like, okay, if you have the capability to brew two shots of espresso in your house, you know how to make a fucking latte. Like, sorry, that part drives me nuts. But
a home espresso machine, you already know what's up. What the fuck are you talking about? Also, like, okay, here's the thing. The most annoying part about this shit is that voice assistants are getting worse.
Yeah.
Like voice assistants were actually better a few years ago because all they could do was provide you with human generated answers, basically, right? Mm. Like they couldn't like provide you with a quote unquote intelligent answer. They had to just like Google it basically for you, which was great. That's perfect. That's what a voice assistant should do, is just fucking Google shit for you, right? But now the voice assistants are like, oh no, I'll come up with the answer. So it's like, you know, you'll probably be like, hey, Meta, how do I make a latte? It'd be like, you know, well, you start by putting a sock in.
Behead your father.
Like, yeah. So I learned recently, and there were some numerical data associated with what I was learning, but I'm going to fuck it up. So I'll just give you the general gist of which.
Gist us.
The gist. The gist is the Reader's Digest version.
Hey, nothing but gist, okay? This is a gist-ass show, first of all.
Gisting all over the place right now.
So, originally, AI, like, voice assisted, AI voice assistants, AI, like, any AI that you can ask questions, like, and get an answer, ChatGPT, whatever.
Smarter child.
Yes, smarter child. There was there were parameters in place that were like, the AI can only answer a question with 100% certainty. And then it was like 80% certainty. And then it was like impacting investment funds that like who was investing into their technology, because they wanted higher levels of questions to be answered. So like, if the bots can only answer questions that they are 100% certain of, that means that there's a huge percentage of overall questions that they can't answer. But people who were investing into the technology didn't want to hear like, this is technology that can answer 20% of questions. So they kept lowering the thresholds on various AI technologies to lowering the accuracy thresholds so that it would increase the percentage of questions that AI will answer. Mm-hmm. which is why AI now is spitting out so much crazy shit. Because instead of the AI being able to be like, I don't know that answer or I can't answer that confidently, instead it is churning out a bullshit answer so that the companies can say, like, our AI responds to 88% of questions. And it's like, it's responding with such low accuracy. But the metric isn't the accuracy. The metric is the KPI isn't the accuracy. It's the percentage of questions that the AI will answer.
Gross.
That fucking sucks.
Yeah. And I learned about that from someone I know that works on self-driving car technology as a programmer. So not like someone that is deeply involved in the tech industry.
Yeah, and to be honest, I've heard something kind of similar from somebody who works with AI.
And then I read about it in supplement to that.
An incredible amount of what also is what's going on right now is just like covering their asses, basically.
It's mm-hmm. just the only thing that these companies, the only way that they survive is if they can continue to pretend that they are growing. And the only way to pretend you are growing is to never stop like offering new things that they can at least like not confidently, but at least something that they can show investors, be like, as soon as this works, we're good. We're good.
Well, that's just it. They're like, we increase the number of questions that our AI can confidently answer from this to that, but it's confidently answering incorrectly. It's like talking to a dumbass at a party who doesn't know they're fucking wrong or who would rather make something up than admit they don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's bleak. But all this to say that I've been hearing so many commercials for these new Meta AI glasses, which is just a pair of Ray-Bans with a camera and Siri in it, basically. And the reason I wanted to bring that up is because this week Apple stopped production on their Vision Pro. the fucking stupid ski goggles that they made, that they were like, this is going to be the next big thing.
Yeah, nobody people are just going to wear these around.
Nobody wanted it.
I mean, since Google Glass over 10 years ago,
it's we've been crazy they keep trying to make this
fucking
happen.
Thing. They're like, oh, you're going to want these virtual reality glasses. You don't want to live in reality anymore. And at this point, it's starting to be like, why do you keep pushing this? Okay. Is it because you think that the planet's going to be totally fucked soon?
Yes.
And so like, you're just like trying to get us to be okay with the idea of like a non-planet before it's like, you know, like before we realize like, oh, maybe there's still a chance to like save our planet to some extent. If enough of us take some kind of drastic action, and they don't want us taking the kinds of drastic action that I'm talking about. I'm talking about voting every day.
Yeah.
Vote That's early, right. Vote often, vote yeah. daily.
Voting daily.
Vote and die.
I you know, my crackpot conspiracy, maybe they're trying to get us all on this AI. And that's how they'll like lull us, and that's how they get us into the pods, you know, like in the Matrix.
Oh. All right. So I have a question for the two of you.
Are you sure?
What? Yeah. There's no doubt that I have a question for the two of you.
Yeah. I guess when I said, are you sure? I more was implying that you're going to regret asking, but go for it.
No, not at all. So I have a couple of stories that all kind of play into each other about Bernie's take on H-1B visas, Elon Musk, and then Adrian Dittman. They kind of all go together. What about if we skip those and go to talking about Joe Biden to close out the episode and then bang out a little bonus episode where we can talk about those other three stories?
I don't care what we do.
Wow.
Because we're already at like an hour. I don't want to go for an hour and 40 on one show.
You know what? I'm down for this plan.
I'll literally do whatever. I truly don't care.
Okay. All right. So I have to figure out.
So for the listeners at home, this is a great time to mention while Andrew's figuring out whatever the fuck he's figuring out. if those stories that we just talked about not talking about on the main show sound to you like something you want to hear us talking about, this is the perfect time for you to head on over to www.patreon.com/worstweekyet. Sign up for our Patreon and you'll get to hear us talk about H1N1 visas and
Adrian Dickman.
Yes.
And Adrian's Dickman.
And it's going to be heated, so definitely check that out. But yeah, we'll wrap up the main feed here.
It better be heated. It's winter.
Yeah, I'll leave.
It'll be much colder outside.
But then I can go somewhere warm. I don't care. Go what? Say something.
Oh, for one of the last times, our next segment is a continuing question that we have been asking since very early on in the history of the show, and that is, of course, what the fuck, Joe Biden?
Yeah.
You know, I beg to differ. I don't think that this is one of the last times we're going to be asking, because I don't think he's, like, not just going to go away.
I mean, in line with my prediction, I said a former Democratic president will die in 2025. Joe Biden is only going to, he'll be a former president before January's over.
Yeah, he ain't going to make it very long necessarily, mm-hmm. especially with what he knows about the Clintons.
Yeah, but Hillary, but Hillary still has Big Nance's pillow and she could put that on Bill's face at any time.
Yeah, I think Hillary will be the only Democrat left.
Want
so,
them to rule them all.
Deanna mentioned this earlier. This week, Joe Biden, he's wrapping up his time in office. You know, he gave out, you know, pardons to fucking criminals and all that shit, which that sounds a little too glib. There are definitely a lot of people serving jail time that don't deserve it, but there are a lot of people that are.
He did pardon some people that were good.
Yeah.
But
then he also pardoned his son, who is a criminal.
Yeah. And a friend of the show. So this week, Joe Biden had his award ceremony where he gave out the Presidential Medal of Freedom to 19 people, including, as Deanna said earlier, Hillary Clinton, also Bono, and Magic Johnson.
Also, Pinhead from Hellraiser, the guy with all the pins in his head and needles and everything.
Which, like, my God, what a perfect name. Like, you know, you never see... That guy was born with those pins in his head, and his parents chose the name Pinhead.
Imagine giving birth to a baby full of pins.
I mean...
I'd like to not imagine that.
Well, we're all imagining it now.
Relative to the just regular trauma of pin-free childbirth, I don't know if it's like...
Actually...
It's definitely worse, but like...
I'm rotating a cow in my mind instead.
You know what, Kennedy? Actually, you... Because of your known neurodivergence, you do not have to imagine that. But because Andrew is just waking up to sensory discomfort...
Wake him up.
Yeah.
Wake me up inside!
Yeah, well, if you were given birth to a pin-covered baby, I think you'd be woken. You'd be way the fuck awake in there.
Way the fuck awake.
You'd be so woke.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to say. And, you know, obviously I will never experience birth of a pinned or unpinned baby. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's so traumatic that it's like, yes, it's worse, but, like, is it that much worse? I think the bad part is the you know, cracking open your fucking insides and all that shit.
I don't know why. I think the worst part is big rip that you can get from your vagina to your butthole.
Yeah. Oh, also the worst part is probably whenever the dad says, "We just gave birth." Like, dog, you did not do that.
I think the worst part is the fact that when that's wow. all over, you have to shepherd a new person through this world and reckon with the fact that you created that.
Lots of worse parts.
Anyways, that's why I keep all my children safe in my ovaries.
Yeah, that's why my fleshlight's on the pill. Okay. a few of the Presidential Medals of Freedom were handed out posthumously. This one was really surprising. Joe Biden awarded a Presidential Medal of Freedom to George Romney, who is Mitt Romney's dad. He died in 1995. Why the fuck are we awarding this guy anything? Okay, if you've made it almost, or as of now, 20 years, 30 years, I can count, 30 years, you don't deserve that award, okay? Why the fuck are you giving it to him?
What? I mean, here's the thing. He's been dead for so long. We are, in fact, free of him. We are free of him.
It's just like Joe Biden, always bringing up old stuff, you know?
Well, he is old. It's topical for him. He actually thinks that happened last week.
Yeah, he thinks that happened pretty recently.
Whenever he announced the award, they were like, we'll have to do that one posthumously. And he was like, what? What happened to George?
They asked him to talk at Jimmy Carter's funeral, and he kept accidentally calling him George.
Yeah.
They asked him to talk at Jimmy Carter's funeral, and he was like, I'd be so honored to speak at Jimmy's wedding.
I think the most egregious of the awards of the Medal of Freedom winners was Jose Andres, the guy who started the World Central Kitchen, which, if you remember from a few months ago into the never-ending siege of Gaza, bombs supplied by the United States were used to blow up World Central Kitchen workers, directly authorized by Joe Biden. Like, the fucking, I would have said, fuck you, dude. You had my people killed. But yeah, he showed up and he cried and he was so grateful. And the world is a fucking scam.
He also gave it to that soccer player.
That I was saving that for last because that's my favorite one.
Well,
I just want to say, spoiler. You know, y'all had tried to convince me a while back that Joe Biden must be swanging a big dick. I think I believe it now. this man, out of control behavior, he's got to have some kind of confidence that is undue.
And is genuine from within, not the fake, like, Donnie's a very special boy confidence that Donald Trump has. But Joe Biden, he looks down every time he takes a pee and knows he's a very special boy.
Yeah, his condescension knows no bounds. So
his condensation knows no bounds.
Every time the tip of his dick bangs against his knee when he walks, he knows he's a very special boy.
Yeah, you don't need anybody to tell you.
He's on his seventh knee replacement, but it's just because his dick keeps fracturing his patellas.
As Deanna was mentioning, my favorite of the Presidential Medal of Freedom Award winners was that Lionel Messi won a Presidential Medal of Freedom and he didn't show up to the ceremony.
He was busy.
He's like, yeah, I got a scheduling conflict. Okay, like, I get that this is like kind of like a what does this even mean award, but also like, dog, the president's like, I want to give you a medal. And you're like, yeah, I got something to do that day. That's so fucking funny to me. I don't know.
That's awesome. Yeah,
I do like it. I like that he couldn't be bothered. Mm-hmm. He was like, can't you just tell Joe I was there?
He won't know the difference.
He won't know the difference. Can't we just stage a fake one for 2 weeks from now just for me and tell him that it's the same one?
So I also just wanted to briefly touch on the fact that Joe Biden also said that he is going to be giving two major speeches before he leaves office.
Wait, hold on.
Okay.
My favorite of the Presidential Medal of Freedom recipients was George Soros. And that's actually only my favorite because prior to this episode, we were texting about this and I texted Andrew a brief list of some of the people who won, including George Soros. And for like 2 minutes, he was so excited and then was immediately crestfallen because he thought that my text said George Santos.
I sure did. I believe my response was, let's fucking go.
Yeah. And I just want to acknowledge, like, one, it's funny that he gave the award to George Soros. Two, it's funny that Andrew thought it was George Santos. Three, let's just imagine that it was George Santos for a second, because that version of reality is also really funny.
I can't think of a man who deserves it more. Shout out to Mr. Santos, friend of the show. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, yeah. That was a very fun minute and a half where I was like, I can't believe he fucking did it. He fucking did it. Joe Biden, zero good bits of his entire... Actually, no. What was the one where he was like, I'm going to do a speech with like a red lit background against pure black behind me and just look as evil as humanly possible? I do think that was a pretty good bit.
Yeah, it was all right.
I mean, relative to his, it was definitely his best bit, I think.
It was definitely his best bit of the year.
Of the term.
Of the, yeah. Of his life, maybe.
I did like the ice cream Obama vids, but before he was, you know, at the end, in like 2016, I was like, these are fun. These are cute.
Mm-hmm.
Him licking an ice cream cone, talking to Obama, knowing that he's been racist for his whole fucking life, being like, yeah, this is my guy I work for. I hate the world. Let's see. Oh yeah, like I was saying,
what were you gonna say? Sorry.
I have no fucking clue.
Speeches. Joe Biden's speeches.
Yeah, he wants to give two major speeches before he leaves office, and the reason he said this is crazy, he was like, I want to solidify my legacy before Donald Trump takes over. Like, dog, your legacy is that you let the country fall to Donald Trump again, period. Like, this,
and that abortion went bye-bye.
You know what, Kennedy? You're right.
You know what? Here's the thing. I think in these two speeches, he is going to solidify his legacy, but not in the way that he thinks he is, and I'm fine with that.
He's going to shit his pants.
Like, he is going to just give us all one more shining reminder of exactly who and what the fuck he is.
I believe the speech is titled The Last Great Gaslight.
The Gaslight Anthem. Wasn't that a band?
I think so.
Yeah.
Problematic. Yeah, so that's the news. It's been, you know, there are years where weeks are centuries happening.
What?
What do you think I meant?
Okay, Bilbo.
Yeah, this is fun. It's good to be back with Hens for another year. I'm excited. You know, we're very, very quickly approaching Trump 2.0. This is, you know, lots of weird stuff's coming down. Do we even have a story about Trump this week? I don't know what the fuck he's been doing.
Me either.
I mean, I feel perfectly comfortable assuming it's not good. But yeah, I really don't know what the fuck he's up to. It's like, I won. Who gives a fuck, dude?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so as I said earlier, please do go over to our Patreon. We will be talking about some exciting... We've never even covered the Vivek fucking tweet about family matters or whatever.
Let's stuff that into the bonus episode.
Yeah, so we're gonna cover quite a few bases. And again, Adrian Dittman discourse on the Patreon. I know you all want to hear it. Go on over to Patreon.
You want to find out the real identity of Adrian Dickman. There's only one place where you're going to get the answers to that question.
Hell yeah.
Is it our Patreon episode? The only way to find out is to listen.
So do that. Kennedy, Deanna, Deans, have anything to plug?
I want to plug my prediction that Donald Trump will interrupt Joe Biden at one of his speeches the way Kanye West interrupted Taylor Swift at the VMAs in 2009.
I'm going to let you finish, but...
Yeah, I hope. That's what I want to plug. Just think about that and enjoy. Close your eyes. Do some recreational thinking. Daydream about some weird shit.
I agree.
Be best.
Kennedy, what's up with you? What's up with that podcast?
I got a new podcast coming out very, very, very soon.
That was very
abrasive. Called The Most Important Election of Our Lives.
Let's fucking go.
The show about, it's not about elections. I don't know what it's about.
Voting every day.
It's about voting every day. That is what the show is about.
Yeah, it's you listen to the show and you look down and there's a ballot in your hands.
But like every several days, one lucky winner looks down and Joe Biden's huge dick 20 years ago is in their hands.
Whoa.
Ooh, I just realized that even 20 years ago, his dick was like 70 years old.
Yeah, that's, I mean, Joe Biden's like 115 years old. I don't want that even 40 years ago necessarily.
No, no, no. I also have another podcast. It's called The Crumbling. You can find it wherever you find podcasts. It's fun. So yes, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. Head on over to our Patreon. And more important than all of that, bullshit. Tune in again next week for more bad news.
Bye.